FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is October 7th, 2016. Well, maybe Hurricane Matthew turned out to be a dud for much of South Florida. Maybe the danger was overestimated by your federal government. But I'll tell you what, the coming hurricane or financial tsunami has not been overestimated by yours truly and many of the people that you hear from on FSN. While the federal government is certainly underestimating that tsunami and that financial hurricane that's upcoming, Rick Ackerman of rickackerman.com, make sure you go over to that site now, subscribe to Rick's Picks, is with us. By the way, send me emails, kl@kerrylutz.com. The new site is really unbelievable. Traffic is way up. The number of you who are visiting the site up almost 50%. I can't even believe it. So thank you for that. And hey, we've just had so many great interviews on recently, and this is going to be another great one. I promise you that. So Rick, welcome back to the show. It's been way too long, but thank you for making time to come on.
Well, thanks for the nice introduction, Kerry. I always enjoy chatting with you. And how about that hurricane?
Yeah, how about that hurricane? It missed Palm Beach County, where I live. A little bit of wind. I escaped mainly because I had to work, wanted to do shows, and I was afraid we were going to lose power, which would have basically put me out of business. So I went over to the West Coast, worked out of this motel. It was a Super 8. I figured it's going to be a dump. I make my reservation. It's $100 plus whatever exorbitant resort taxes the state of Florida levies. And I get there, and it looks like a regular dumpy motel. I get in the room. The room has been totally redone. It is beautiful inside. It's got outlets galore, because usually these old motels do not have enough outlets. And I bring extension cords and adapters with me. The Wi-Fi left a little bit to desire, but I was able to use my tethering on my phone. And hey, I did four or five shows from this motel room, and it was totally comfortable. The beds were comfortable. It was clean. It was unbelievable for $100. I was thrilled. As it turned out, it was totally unnecessary. We never even lost power here in Northern Palm Beach County. But speaking of losing power, company earnings losing power, and potentially the stock market losing power, and the Federal Reserve losing power all the way around, don't you think?
Well, let me mention, and I'm going to connect the dots here, Kerry, that I was kind of sweating Hurricane Matthew from afar. I live in Colorado, but I have a home in Boynton Beach. And, the news media likes to whip things into a frenzy. And from this distant point of observation, I was worried that my house was going to get swept away. And speaking as an ex-newsman, I worked as a reporter and editor for the Atlantic City Press for a few years out of college. I can say that all the newsrooms are cheering for somebody to die, because if a single person dies in any connection at all to the hurricane, they can, from that point forward, refer to it in all headlines as a killer hurricane.
That's right.
Killer storm. So they were thrilled, but of course, it got overhyped. It was kind of a comet Kahootek with respect to South Florida, and I'm glad for that. I guess my house is still there. But in the same way, the reportage that we get is on the economy is so filled with hubris that it's impossible, really, to judge what the state of the economy is based on news reports. But fortunately, most of us have our own eyes and ears to see that in spite of all these claims about recovery, and we don't even hear that word too much longer, too much anymore, other than in the context of this weak recovery. So, you know, for most Americans, the economy never really recovered. It just recovered on Wall Street. And I think the game is getting just a little bit tired when we're about to enter a sixth straight quarter where some of the S&P biggies, or the S&P biggies on average, are going to report declining earnings. So here, earnings have been sinking now for a year and a half, and we've got the stock market within pitching wedge distance of all-time highs. And that's beyond absurd, and it's why I'm putting out, I would say, spookier and spookier short-term forecasts. I think we're in a topping pattern here, and as you can see, the market cannot make a dime's worth of headway when there's no Fed announcement coming. You know, they only, the stocks go nuts whenever some drivel comes from the mouth of the clown in chief, Janet Yellen. And the newspapers treat that like Comet Kohoutek, like she's actually said something, or for that matter, like there's actually going to be some tightening either next month or it's certainly coming quote unquote soon. But as I've been shouting for most of the last 10 years, the odds of any real tightening by the Fed with this economy as shaky as it has always been are about on par with the Martian invasion.
Yeah, well, hey, when they even speak of raising rates, what happens to the market? It just falls to pieces. And it seems like the only thing the Fed really cares about is keeping the stock market going. And the stock market really has been range bound for years now. Yeah, it's made nominal highs, but they're so puny that the highs that it's making are meaningless. The only thing you can say is that it hasn't gone down, right? I mean, it hasn't hit new lows, but it's basically not really going anywhere and doing so slowly. And what's the cost of keeping the market up? I mean, how much is it costing the real economy? These negative interest rates, really a drag on the economy, bad for savers, bad for pensions, bad for insurance companies, just bad all the way around.
Yeah, and you know, the banks are out there just cheering for more curvature in the yield curve. The only way they're going to make money is borrowing short and lending long. And you can see that it's working less and less for them. You know, they're really desperate to find yield in anything. And of course, the desperation is what's growing out on the yield curve, because all the pension funds, the real biggies, the insurance companies, are positioned, or they were positioned from years ago, to think that returns of 6% or more were just going to happen till the end of time. And of course, these days, even the hedge funds are challenged to return 6% on their money. So that is an actuarial assumption that's going to come crashing down. But if you don't understand why Social Security and why all private and public pensions are headed into collapse, you're in denial.
Yeah. And it's how can an insurance company earn a return to service those policies here, Rick, with these rates? Well, is it possible?
No, it's not. And, you know, the Fed is kind of operating on the same ridiculous assumption. That is, if we warehouse all this bogus paper for long enough, the economy will come, if not roaring back, it'll strengthen enough that we can retire all of the paper. That's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. You know, they've been sort of keeping all the bogus paper out of circulation since 2008. And there still hasn't been this economic effusion to allow them to retire that debt. But the one thing, you know, concerning the Social Security system and pensions, or Social Security system in particular, the one way I think it becomes clearest that there's a disaster ahead is that for baby boomers to think that they're going to keep collecting Social Security checks and have their medical bills paid by Medicare is to assume that all of these slackers, the 20-somethings, the millennials up into their 30s, still living at home, of course, are going to somehow be able to foot the bills for the baby boomers' retirement. And that is absurd on its face. It can't possibly happen. You know, most of these kids graduate college with degrees that they'll never use, and they're finding difficulty just getting jobs for $15 an hour, you know, outside of that warp in San Francisco, where, you know, wages are very pumped for the relative few who are fortunate enough to be working for the unicorn companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, fortunately, a couple of them are related to me, but hey, it's insane to think that this situation goes on and on with a happy end, because a happy ending, because look what's happening here, Rick. It's just remarkable in that there's no fiscal sanity in the world. I don't care the developing world or the developed world. Nobody wants to balance a budget. Nobody wants to cut taxes to spur growth. I will take that back. There is one country that appears to have gotten its collective sense in order, and that's, of all places, Argentina. That's the only country that seems to be making any moves in the right direction. They're encouraging their mining industry. It looks like they're rolling back regulations and taxes. But I don't see much else happening in the world to be encouraging here. You know, I guess maybe we'll know after the election.
Well, Argentina, I guess, is just out of sync with the rest of the world. But, you know, if you look at their history, you get the idea that maybe it's not a great place to put your entire nest egg. You know, Argentina goes through boom and bust in a big way. You know, it's not like Florida real estate. It's their whole money system, their banking system. And, you know, people have awakened in Argentina at one time too many to discover that their assets, their bank account had been confiscated or they weren't allowed to get any money out of their accounts. So I would hesitate to take the plunge in Argentina.
But, I'm not advocating that. You never know. It's too early in the game there.
But it's, you know, the rest of, if you mentioned there's, for all the stimulus, there's really nothing happening. And a point that I've made in my newsletter is that if the feds were really serious about stimulating from the get-go, they would have done one thing, and that would have been to have declared a particular year, 2012, 2013, whichever, as a tax moratorium year. So in other words, wake up to the news that however much you make from capital gains, from investments, from income, you don't pay taxes on it in that year. That would be stimulus, and it would be the closest thing that I can imagine to what is called helicopter money. You know, all those guys out there talking about helicopter money. The term is never, ever used correctly. They've got it wrong. But a true stimulus, the closest we get to it, would be an announcement that in this year we will pay no income or capital gains taxes. That would be stimulus.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
And for all the trillions we've shot at stimulating the wrong things, namely stocks, bonds, and real estate, we may as well have put that money toward a moratorium. You know, whenever the taxpayers get a break, it's the offset that we refer to. Like the government will lose these revenues or that those revenues. But when you think about who's gaining there, the taxpayers, the stimulus would be enormous. And as perma bearish as I've been on the economy, I have to say that kind of shot in the arm could really get things going. But it's too late now, you know, because we've already stretched the federal debt beyond the $20 trillion mark, and we just can't do it.
No, I don't see how. But, you know, either way, it would have made sense to do it 8 years ago. You know, unfortunately, saner heads did not prevail. So, Rick, what do you think the best thing to do here is? Because you're a deflationist. You think all of this is basically headed down the proverbial drain, if you will.
Well, as a deflationist, I've enjoyed a 35-year rally in long-term bonds. And the popular wisdom here is that, interest rates have come down from 15% in 1982 on the long bond to as low as, I think, 3.1% recently. How much more can they fall? So because of that logic, everybody, and I'm talking about even the big guys like Bill Gross, for all I know, George Soros and Warren Buffett himself are thinking that's it for the bonds. They basically had their fling. But I'm looking on a technical basis at interest rates, long-term rates that are going to go to 1.5% and possibly as low as 0.7%. So because these bond prices fluctuate inversely with yields, if we were to have long-term rates, 30 years, were to come down to 1.5, 1.6% over the next couple of years, that would mean enormous capital gains in the bonds. And of course, the bond holders have been getting, getting a rough time this year. We've had a corrective year for bonds, but if you look at the long-term chart, you really see a bullish formation, a kind of accumulation time. And I think that even putting the deflation argument out of the consideration as a reason to invest in the long-term bonds, if you take the flight to safety that is absolutely coming, that's good for more than just a shot in the arm. That will be a huge rally. It'll be kind of like the trumpet sound, and all the world's money comes to the one place where, not where everybody's sure the money's going to be safe, but relative to everything else, the treasuries are going to look attractive. So I think you've got one hell of a flight to safety rally left in bonds, but I also think you have the world in recession or depression bull market, both fundamentals argument for bonds as well, that with the global and U.S. economies on their butt, that interest rates would continue, would go much lower. So anyway, it's a very contrarian view, but I think the long-term rates are going to get down under 2%, and I think corresponding rates for the 10-year are going to fall close to zero. And I should mention that come hell or high water, at least 20% of your investment should be in gold, because I can't conceive of any situation where gold would lose its purchasing power relative to other investable assets.
Huh. Interesting. So what about the risk of default by the U.S. government, or isn't there one because they can just print money?
Well, that's a hyperinflation, really. They can print money argument, and I'm not buying it. I think we've got to go through a deflationary death valley before we get to anything like the federal government not defaulting, but just sort of ginning up whatever they have to in bogus dollars to pay off all their bonds. So I don't think that's imminently. I don't see that on the horizon, really. I do think we're in sort of locked into a deflationary spiral right now. And, we're not going to see an effective default through hyperinflation, at least not before we've been wrung out to dry in a deflationary way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, interesting. So bonds are still the thing, especially in deflationary environments, because that will drive rates down for sure. So, Rick, people want to check out your site, check out your publication. Best place to go?
RickAckerman.com. At the top of the page, Carrie, there's a tab that says subscribe, and you can click there for a free trial. And once you're in, head for the chat room. I've got the best chat room that I've had maybe ever. We've got traders from all over the world, and they are a very helpful bunch, filled with real-time trading ideas. And most of them have taken the course that I offer on my own method of analysis. It's called the hidden pivot method. So the chat room is unusual in that there's always a dozen or two dozen people in there who are real experts with this forecasting system that I use. So it's not just everybody sort of in there waiting for some smart guy to say something. They're all pretty smart. And the chat room is very robust.
All right. Well, hey, there you have it. And as always, you'll find a link to Rick's site in the show notes to our interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Emails kl@kerrylutz.com. Take a look at the site. Sign up for the newsletter. Just finishing one up now about hurricanes, both economic and weather related. Rick, we'll talk to you again very soon. You be well.
Always good, Kerry. Thanks.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.